Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing. This is episode 15 and you're here with Anna Singh and Lucinda Pebray, that's me. And today we're talking about the senses and including that or incorporating that into your writing and how hard or difficult that might be. So Anna, when we decided on this topic, what came to mind for you?
Well, when you're writing, you perhaps have to reflect what we're like in real life. And in real life, we have various senses. You could say five and you could say six. And you could probably divide them up in other ways. But the main ones are quite well known. It's things like sight and smell and touch. So those are the three main ones. And in neuro-linguistic programming, those are called VAK, VAK. So it's whether your visual sense is stronger, or whether your audio sense is stronger, or whether your kinesthetic sense is stronger. So basically that's whether you see, you relate a lot by sight, or by sound, or by touch. So they're the three main ones. And then after that, you could say VACOG, which was olfactory and gustatory, and that means how you taste your food. Is gustatory, and olfactory is smell. So, for instance, if you're cooking a meal, you might see the nice food, the nice colours of the food. You might hear the sizzling or the steam coming out of the pan. Kinesthetic, you might touch, you might enjoy the chopping and the feel of the food. And then gustatory would be the taste. And then while you're cooking, you also get the smell. So when you're learning, you tend to use one of those. Not the last two so much, but one of the main three, the VAC. So visuals would find they like to learn by creating images or seeing things. And audio might prefer to listen to a tape or similar. And kinesthetic might like to walk through. So for instance, if you're learning a language, some people would want to see pictures of scenes. Some people might like to listen to the sounds, and some people might like to do a sort of role play or a walk through a situation. So that's just summarising. But when we're writing, we might want to bring in more of that sort of feeling that we've noticed in all those spheres that we can. So I was working out ways to do that for a group. It's a writing group that I'm in. And we started off with a meditation, and then I asked them to write down some words that came to mind after the meditation.
Tell people why you decided on a meditation to start with.
Yeah, so I decided it because I thought people come to a group of any kind full of their thoughts of the things that have been going on just now, just come out, rushed away from somewhere and got somewhere else. So partly just to bring them to this place and settle them a bit, and then let their imagination begin to open up, especially because I was working on the senses. That seemed like a good idea. And so we started with just gently feeling the breath, and then I took them through a guided meditation, a very short one, which was linked to the topic so that it would lead into more ideas coming out of them, and also me, because I was taking part in it.
Yeah, it was. I just think that was really a brilliant way to start. And I think that it's fascinating that we tend towards one thing over another, and that everyone's different.
Yeah.
And that as writers, you might need to work harder on bringing in the senses that you don't immediately go to.
Yes, that's right. Because it would make your writing appeal to every type who is reading your work. And also because in real life our language changes a bit depending on which one we prefer. So If we're more of a visual, we might be constantly referring to sights that we've seen, or even say, I see that, when, as a way of saying, I agree. Or, and someone whose audio might say, I've heard that this has happened. And kinesthetic tend to refer a lot to the touch of things. So, or even as a person, they would say, that person's hard.
Yeah.
Or that person's soft-hearted. These are very kinesthetic descriptions. So when you're writing a character, you can be thinking in those terms a little bit of how they would speak and what would be their terms of reference. Sometimes it's hard to know what you are yourself, and it's easier to hear someone else. And you can ask yourself a few questions. And also you can have all three. Some people have the main three in balance. Some have more one, more the other.
Yeah.
I used to like to say to people who weren't sure what I was talking about that imagine if you were in love, how you'd want someone to demonstrate love to you. Would it be a visual, like a Valentine card or a beautiful sight, or even just their eyes lighting up, because a visual would be looking for visual signs. And then an audio might like the words to be said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hear those words. And then a kinesthetic might like to be held close, touch.
Yeah.
You know. So sometimes couples are different in what they like and how they would like to be shown affection.
Yeah.
And even as friends, you know, I know I like flamboyant gestures. I like people who wave and smile. And
yeah.
I can see what, you know, friendliness in their behaviour. Yeah. So, yeah, and I'm definitely a visual. I know that. I've always known that.
I don't know what I am. I don't.
Well, I'd probably take too long on this.
Yeah, to work it out.
Yeah, because yeah. I would have to think very carefully about how you're speaking to me, and I might have to ask you to do a few things. And just straight away, I don't think I could just do that here. It would take too long. But anyway, it's a good thing to get into, I think. And of course, we haven't even mentioned the sixth sense, which is something you operate in your writing more about that. So kind of the obvious thing would be it's things that we perhaps sense that are surprising for us to sense, that we don't expect to feel or sense. I don't know what you think it means.
I know why you're saying about my writing, because... Mm. Because it's a little bit supernaturally, so the creatures in it do have other senses to rely on and other powers, I suppose. But I actually think the sixth sense is in all writing, because I think because you'll have people will it's reading that body language, it's that taking in that information that you're not consciously aware of, so you're unconsciously taking in that information and making sense of it. And you, writers do put that in writing, even if it is quite mundane, as in, you know, set on Earth with normal people. So I think that is still in there. So you might have someone anticipating what someone else is going to do, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you do include that.
Yes.
In the internal dialogue or in the way that they might react.
Mm.
Like at a tense moment, if someone's going to attack someone.
Yeah.
The victim will pick up on that and maybe react before the attack happens.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a good point. Because a lot of the times in life and in stories, we are using all senses, but quite a lot more than we may realise we're using those, as you say. Like, it can be people who think they know something's going to happen before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some individuals who seem to have a special power of that. There's some individuals who think they can see an aura.
Mm.
I've never thought I could.
Mm.
Do you think you can?
No.
But people do, and yes, the stuff that's in life can be in stories, and dogs are good at sixth sense, I've heard, and you like dogs. But the one I thought was amazing, well, it's true, but it was based on some research, was that dogs start to behave differently when their owner leaves the workplace, not when they arrive home, but when they even set off from quite a distance. The dog seems to know.
Yeah.
Now that's what I would call sixth sense.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not because you've shouted at them through the pet cam.
Yeah. No, nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all sorts of fascinating things you can do, and some writers operate more in that field than others, for sure.
It's also those coincidences, and are they coincidences, or are they something bigger, or something else, or even something neutral, like attracts and the like. So you know, when you get a lot of negativity in your life, is it because like attracts like? I don't know, but it is interesting to incorporate that in your writing, because it is in life, isn't it?
Definitely.
So even if you don't write your more supernaturally type stuff, which there are probably more than six senses in that case.
I might try a little experiment, because I thought I might ask you something that really was intended as a writing thing, and I did in the group, which was, think of a place you visited today and write down some words that come to your mind. But because we're on air, I'm going to ask you to think of a place that you visited today and use as many of your five, or even six if you want, senses to think about it, and spontaneous if you can, just say some of the things that place conjures up for you now. I might try it as well in a minute if you like.
Okay. So have I got to try and incorporate different senses?
If you can. Or just go for... Or it could be just one, just see what happens.
Okay, so see if you can guess where I was.
Yeah.
So water, chlorine, barking, hairdryer, cool, calm, wet, not just water but wet, blue and concrete, and wicker, and light, and laughter.
Shall we stop there?
Yeah.
So was this when you took the dog to
Hydro?
So it's an interesting description, everyone who's listening. Quite a lot of kinesthetic in that description.
Oh, really?
So that was interesting. There wasn't any sound, was there?
Barking.
Mm. A little bit of sound. And there was colour. Colour blue, for instance. Mm. But a lot of it was sensation, wasn't it? Wet,
that's
cold,
true.
Wet, cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It was good. So I'll do one. So you'll probably guess too, because we know each other quite well, people. So walking up to one of those doors where you have to press a button and say your name, and then walking through, putting on my shoes, taking my other shoes off, pile of chairs, and then I go to the corner by the window, and as people arrive, because I'm always the first... gradually starting to bend our knees, go on up on our tiptoes, and eventually the teacher arrives and more people arrive, and then we start to go round and round the room. First of all, we did a sort of swaying arms as we walked round the room, and then we did sort of on tiptoes, and then with more like a skippy hop movement. So far, this is quite kinesthetic as well, which is interesting, because it's not usually for me.
I don't know. You've got a lot of visual in there as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I was at my dancing class.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, I think everyone could have got that without knowing you.
They could, yeah. They might not have guessed that I'm always first, but that's because I have to be somewhere on time.
Yeah.
And this, in this case, because it means tram and bus, it means setting off quite early.
Crack a dawn.
Yeah. So anyway, thinking about characters, you can think about these five senses and build up your character a little bit, or just do lists of words and see if new words come out of the exercise. There's so much you can do with this.
It can make your descriptions quite interesting as well, because you're looking at it from a different perspective than you would normally. If you just try and incorporate more of the senses.
Yeah. So I chose a passage to illustrate the point, which was Philip Pullman, Northern Lights. So shall I just read that one?
Yes.
And then you've got one. So it's a character called Lyra, and you can tell, I mean, by the title, Northern Lights, what the next bit I'm going to read is about. But she exclaims, "The aurora." Her wonder was so strong that she had to clutch the rail to keep from falling. The sight filled the northern sky. The immensity of it was scarcely conceivable. As if from heaven itself, great curtains of delicate light hung and trembled. Pale green and rose pink, and as transparent as the most fragile fabric. And at the bottom edge, a profound and fiery crimson like the fires of hell. They swung and shimmered loosely with more grace than the most skillful dancer. Lyra thought she could even hear them. A vast distant whispering swish. In the evanescent delicacy she felt something as profound as she'd felt close to the bear. She was moved by it. It was so beautiful it was almost holy. She felt tears prick her eyes. And the tears splintered the light even further into prismatic rainbows.
Yeah. You have got all the senses in that, haven't you? Yeah. I love that book there.
Yes, it's brilliant. But yeah, it's a marvellous example of using a profoundly visual, but he managed to get through all the other things as well.
Yeah.
The sound of swish and the feel.
So you were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Regardless of which you prefer, it made like a whole.
Yeah, it's a beautiful description. And it's something that most people know about a bit, but he still made it magical.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful. So what have you got for us?
So I've got one of my favourite books. It's Sarah J. Maas, and it's Queen of Shadow, which is book 4. So I don't know how much sense this is going to make, but I'll tell you why I love it so much. Okay, I need to put my glasses on, hold on. Manon turned away, barking at her 13 to get to their mount. "I suppose," the Queen went on, "that makes you smarter than Baba Yellow Legs." Manon stopped, staring straight ahead and seeing nothing of the grass or sky or trees. Astrin whirled. "What do you know of Baba Yellow Legs?" The Queen gave a low chuckle, despite the warning growl from the Fey warrior. Slowly, Manon looked over her shoulder. The Queen tugged apart the lapels of her tunic, revealing a necklace of thin scars as the wind shifted. The scent, iron and stone and pure hatred, hit Manon like a rock to the face. Every iron teeth witch knew the scent that forever lingered on those scars. Witch killer. Perhaps Manon would lose herself in blood and gore instead. "You're carrion," Manon said, and lunged. Only to slam face first into an invisible wall and then freeze entirely.
Ooh, you can really feel the sensation of that, so it's very kinesthetic, that description, isn't it?
What I love about it is just the way she uses very simple words to create a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so when she was, and the words she uses, so perhaps Manon would lose herself in blood and gore instead. And she doesn't say, "I'm going to kill you." Mm. She says, "You're carrion."
Yeah.
is that?
Yeah.
That and the... I don't, the names are brilliant, aren't they? Baba Yellow Legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's this, good. I think it's sort of a bit less visual, but it builds up.
Yeah.
It almost through feeling. I think it builds up through feeling.
It's that the scent, iron and stone and pure hatred.
Yeah.
And there's no mixture. There's no not knowing what she's there. And the same with Manon stopped staring straight ahead and seeing nothing of the grass or sky or trees.
Mm.
It just so much conveys the emotion, doesn't it? Without.
Mm.
It just shows you, I suppose.
It's emotion. Interesting where she's telling you what she's not seeing, because as soon as you hear something that's not, you actually are seeing it. Like if I say, there's no fridge in here, you start to see a fridge. You said there's no trees.
There's no sky or trees. But it also shows you where they are, doesn't it? By not seeing those things.
That's clever.
Yeah.
That's how our brains work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the emotion those things, or that sort of writing, can trigger.
Yeah.
That's,
So what's quite a good thing for people to do? There's lots of good things that you can do to help your writing. One is take a little book out with you when you go and just write down some words that come to mind wherever you're sitting or whatever you're hearing or whatever you're eating even. That's one quick thing people can do. Then I guess if you're editing like you are at the moment, you can think about some of those things like, could I add a little?
Mm.
Could I add a little sensation here and there?
Mm.
And I guess it's useful when you admire a writer like that for using some simple words and quite a lot of feeling built up. You can practice trying to do those things.
Yeah, because I'm editing at the minute as well, I'm finding that I'm going from something that didn't have a lot of feeling to trying to infuse it with some feeling and the language that you use to do that. And part of it is bringing in other aspects and other ways of seeing it. And part of it is just kind of being the character for that period of time.
Do you remember Laura gave us an exercise that was describing a murder scene without saying who was murdered for? That was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You couldn't say who the murderer was or who was murdered, could you?
Yeah, that's it.
Just had to conjure it up.
I can't remember what I did. I remember, and I don't think it was my piece, someone staring out across a lake with a dripping knife.
It wasn't mine either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's quite a lot to think about.
Yes. And there's plenty more.
And can you believe we're on to episode 16 next time?
Absolutely.
Crikey.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.